Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
The problem most men have is they don't know how to talk to women.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
You know what my problem is? I am not interesting.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
What am I supposed to say? I went to magic camp? I'm an accomplished ventriloquist?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
Oh, I am a seventh degree imperial yo-yo master. Oh, do me, yo-yo master. I want you to do me because you're the yo-yo guy.
The Fan.
My darling, can't get enough.
Hey, let's do this. Final hour, Dirt and Sprague. Hope your Mondays are going well. Give us a follow on Twitter at Dirt and Sprague. We'll follow you back. I want to talk some Monday Night Football coming up bottom of the hour. Excited about that game. Oregon lost again over the weekend. They're now 4-4. Get back into the Ducks. Can they make a bowl game at this point? See if we get any updates on Justin Herbert. Steph Curry, the punishment has been levied against him. We'll have to get to that at some point after he had a little temper tantrum this weekend, tossed his mouthpiece again.
Absolute horse ass.
All of what he did
absolute
in the NBA Finals.
Horse ass with the NBA.
We'll get to that coming
turning
up.
Turning into the NFL
That's
here.
That's right. We'll get to that coming up in the final hour as well. I do want to start, though, and, you know, Swag had a statement earlier in the show saying it was a disappointing weekend in the NFL, probably just in terms of blowouts and, you know, not games coming out of the wire. I tend to agree, but I will also submit one up it a little bit. To me, this was the most disappointing weekend of football from start to finish that we've had, because I went into this college football weekend thinking, all right, USC, Notre Dame, there's a big marquee playoff eliminator, if you will. Michigan and Penn State, I was excited to watch that one. Penn State hadn't been tested yet. Michigan had a good defense. You know, there were storylines throughout. Wisconsin, are they for real? Miami, trying to see if they can separate. And really from start to finish, outside of a couple of games, Oklahoma State, Texas, and Oklahoma, Kansas State on the national landscape, I thought it was a total snoozer from start to finish this weekend.
Well, I think it just gives you more reason to follow the conference that we care about the most, the Pac-12. You don't have to feel like, hey, I got to turn back to ABC or CBS or whatever network. You can just focus on the Pac-12 network or the FS1, whatever game that there's a Pac-12 team playing on. That was kind of the beauty to me. Now, I was going to miss the Oregon game live, for example, but if I was at home, I really wouldn't have turned to anything else. I would have just watched Oregon, UCLA. And I know you had Oklahoma State and Texas kind of going on around the same time. I know the Oklahoma Kansas State game ended up being a pretty good game, but I don't know. I think because of how disappointing some of those matchups were to me in my mind, didn't really have much interest in them anyway. And then USC Notre Dame. Yeah. Not really interested in watching Notre Dame continue to blow out a Pac-12 team, especially USC, who on a national level probably exposed themselves as the fraud that they've been the last probably 4 or 5 weeks. So I don't know. I get that it was kind of a stinker nationally, but you got interesting storylines that pop out. One that I think is quite comical, and I've really enjoyed this one. Because Michigan lost to Penn State now, and Harbaugh at Michigan has not beaten any of the dominant Big Ten teams, everybody is ready to point that Jim Harbaugh has the same record after like 33 games as Brady Hoke.
Yeah.
So you're equating Jim Harbaugh
to Brady Hoke
and his coaching prowess to Brady Hoke.
Yeah, a guy who's been to a Super Bowl.
And granted, that's a butt kicking, and I bet you Harbaugh was as pissed as anybody. But if you really are you're sold, you're done on Jim Harbaugh, I think you're sorely mistaken. I think those kind of narratives, Dirt, are what this weekend brings you. You get people that have this hot opinion that has no merit outside of just reacting to a couple games, and That's it. That's all you walk away with.
Also, that narrative is stupid because he smoked Penn State last year. Penn State won the Big Ten, and they absolutely embarrassed him for four quarters in Ann Arbor.
No, 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 no. James Franklin's
that's right. It was early. He
much
hadn't figured
better.
It out yet. Okay,
I'm also, not to go too much into a Penn State segment here.
Oh, we can go down that road because I think I'm right there with you.
I'm so done with the Saquon Barkley get on your knees fest that we've got going on in national college football. If you're a national college football writer right now, can you take a break one moment? I promise Saquon won't go anywhere.
He's going to be fine.
Turn around, and would you please just shut up already? I think Saquon Barkley is a fantastic college football player and has obvious potential of what he could do on the next level. This dude just ran for 100 yards for the first time in what, two or three games?
He has three 100-yard rushing games on the season.
All year. And this dude goes for, what was it, a buck 03?
108
yards. 108
yards.
And the national media would lead you to believe that he ran for 1,000 yards against Michigan. We get that you want him to be the Heisman. Yeah. We understand that. But there are other players in college football, Bryce Love being one of them, that have deserved the same amount of the attention. But it doesn't matter. It just does not matter at all. So the Saquon Barkley love fest, the Harbaugh bashing, those narratives come out of the weekend, and it just sits me even more saltier of just like, okay, when Harbaugh gets good, don't you dare open your mouth. If Saquon Barkley is like 1,000 yards below Bryce Love, don't you dare give him the Heisman.
Yeah, this is going to be the third time in a decade that a Stanford running back city gets screwed out of a Heisman. Gearhart should have won one. McCaffrey should have won one. And Bryce Love will statistically be there at the end of the year, but I guarantee you Barkley wins it because he has flashier plays and because he plays for Penn State, and it looks like they're going to be around at the end of the year. You know, the Penn State stuff to me, it's every time they're on TV, I vomit in my mouth a little bit just watching them. I do. That's one of those storylines I have not been able to get over, and the fan base reaction to that story that I can't forget about. Like every time that I turn them on, I just want to tweet in all caps, people don't forget Penn State. And we all sit here and we applaud their fans and how crazy they are and look at the whiteout, what a great atmosphere, and Herb Street's going on and on about how they're singing songs. Look at this great crowd. They're singing along to another song during a timeout. It's like, give me a break. Like, this is a fan base that supported Joe Paterno, knowing what he did and knowing they wanted the statue to be put back. Like, it's gross, and I can't forget about that kind of stuff. And I root for them every single week to lose, and when they win like that, it leaves me frustrated. But I'm with you on the Barkley thing, man. A lot of people have made that argument about Sam Darnold this year that, like, all right, enough with the hype. We get it. He's not that good. Stop talking about Sam Darnold. To me, it's been much worse with Barkley.
It's nauseating.
Like, Darnold's overhyped. I get it, and he's not living up to what people thought he would coming into the year. But I read that stat on Friday, and I was like, can people tell me? Because I thought this was a sleeper game as an upset. I like Michigan's defense against Penn State. It didn't turn out to be the truth. They won 42-13, but it's like, do people know how many 100-yard rushing games he's had this year? Nobody could answer it. He had two of their first six.
They've also not played anybody till Michigan.
Michigan was their first big game. He went up for over 100 yards. So there's still not a buy-in factor there for me with Penn State, and I'm curious to see how they look with Ohio State. But those are two storylines. I'm hoping they lose so they go away.
I mean, I think it really is funny to me, and I'm glad there's some people texting in on this. Like somebody said, the way the media talks about Barkley, I thought he was putting up better numbers than Love. I'm sick of the anti-Pac-12 bias. And it's not just Love, by the way, because we're all watching Bryce Love. We're Pac-12 fans out here. I'll give you these numbers. 107 carries for 688 yards and 8 touchdowns. You know who that is? It's a guy on another team that's in the playoff talk that nobody will mention. It's Chubb. Nick Chubb at Georgia.
Chubb's having a great year, too.
Chubb is having a great year.
Nobody's mentioning.
No mention of Nick Chubb.
Nobody knows who he is. Nobody talks about him.
I mean, good Lord.
Yeah, somebody said there were Joe Paterno cutouts in the crowd on Saturday.
No, there weren't.
I didn't see him.
I didn't watch that game.
And that kind of leads into just a disappointing weekend because I was so roped into that game 7. I was roped into the end of the Blazer game and or the start of the Blazer game. And then, you know, I flip over that game. It was 14-0 at the end of the first quarter. It's like, oh, God, here we go. And then the same thing was happening with Notre Dame and USC. So those games fell flat. But that's the kind of stuff I'm talking about. Like, just watching them, I don't know. It just leaves me frustrated. And I don't like that we just parade them around as great fans and look at this awesome atmosphere when they're still supporting Joe Paterno, knowing what we know now. It's disgusting. And we need to hold them accountable for that.
So not a good college football weekend, except I'll point out one, TCU covered the 39-point spread and Bama did cover the 36-point spread.
A couple of big spreads.
Tennessee. But hey, look at that. The weekend sucked. We walked away hating Penn State even more.
Yeah, hate watching is fun. The only other takeaway I had of this weekend, too, is how did Texas lose to Oklahoma State? Did you watch the end of that game?
Yes, I did.
What is Sam Ellinger doing?
Well,
it was third and goal. They had a chance to win. They held Oklahoma State to a field goal.
Some people were wondering if he had a concussion.
He probably did because he just flicked it in the end zone. There was nobody within 10 yards, and it was third and goal. You throw it away, you get yourself another chance to win that ball game.
I know.
Did he think it was fourth down? Did we get an answer on that?
I mean, look, when they say you need concussion tests, I'm just going to say that maybe that's what it was.
What the hell was that, Sam?
I don't know. And I was pulling for Bill Snyder. I was rooting for the old guy to pull the upset on Oklahoma.
That was fun. I will throw this out there, too, in terms of just enjoyable college quarterbacks to watch. Baker Mayfield's up there for me.
He's fun, man.
God, he is fun. Like, he's got that swagger and the cockiness that usually bothers me with guys, and I kind of root for him to lose. But it doesn't take away the enjoyment of watching him. He was dominant against Kansas State. They scored 22 points in the fourth quarter. He had that awesome touchdown run. He had 400 passing yards. He was lights out. So some college football notes. And I thought it was a pretty down weekend. A couple of blowouts in the big games. It sounds like, once again, they'll buckle up. This next weekend is supposed to be even better. And all the big games, by the way, just a quick note on next weekend. All the, like, top matchups between ranked teams, they're all 12:30 games. It's not like the big primetime games this week.
Oh, great.
Penn State, Ohio State's a 12:30 game. You got NC State, Notre Dame, 12:30 game.
So we
got
to flip around to, like, four right. different channels.
TCU, Iowa State's pretty good. That's a 12:30 game. Interesting ones. I think the ABC game of the week's Texas Tech, Oklahoma. So if that does it for you. But, a little disappointed. I hate Penn State. You hate Penn State. So at least we have that in common. Hey, the Ducks lost again this weekend. They're now 4-4 on the year. Still no official word on when Justin Herbert's coming back. Can they make a bowl game? And how frustrated are you as a Duck fan? We'll talk about them next on 1080 The Fan.
Boy, this is crazy dirt.
What do you got for me?
Khalil Tate is the first player in Pac-12. The first player in the Pac-12 to win Offensive Player of the Week 3 weeks in a row in 30 years. He won it again.
3 weeks? Nobody's done it 3 weeks in a row?
Nobody. Well, 30 years. It's been 30 years.
It's been 30 years.
Yeah.
Think about all the great talents that came through. Yeah. Couldn't do it 3 weeks
Reggie
in a row.
Reggie Bush never had a three-week stretch.
I'm Mariota. Trying to think. Late 80s, who would that have been?
Aikman?
Let me see. Hold on. Give me a second.
Napoleon Kaufman?
He was the 90s.
He was the 90s. 80s.
Yeah. If you're going 80s, it can't be Napoleon. I can't find it. I'm gonna have to, give me some time.
We'll get to that later. I'll do some research on this. Do some research on that. That's a crazy stat. He's playing great football. Deservingly so, man. The numbers he's putting up, he's been a lot of fun to watch. Sticking in the Pac-12, take a look in the rearview mirror. You go back 3 weeks ago, Oregon was sitting at 4-1, had a nice little win over Cal. And everybody was feeling pretty good. Like, hey, look at this, 4-1. They matched their win total 5 weeks into the season from the previous year. And it was basically optimism all around. And then the last 3 weeks have happened. Oregon lost to Washington State 33-10. They lost to Stanford 49-7. And then they lost to UCLA 31-14. And they were putting up points basically with everybody. Their lowest point total before the injury was 35. Since then, they have not gone over 14 points. This was their high against UCLA. They now sit at 4-4. Frustration all over the place. Apparently, I'm just making excuses. But once again, Braxton Burmeister, not good enough to get them a win in the Pac-12.
I don't know if you're making excuses as much as just pointing out simply they have a quarterback problem. They can't figure out the quarterback problem until their starting quarterback returns. And they're left shorthanded and forced to, I don't know, be so one-dimensional. I also think it's fair, though, for people to be critical. You can't say that Willie Taggart told those kids to transfer out at quarterback position, so he doesn't want himself to be so empty-handed there. But just wondering aloud, is there something different? I don't know what it is. I don't think fans know what it is. You would need somebody that really sits and breaks down film to really identify what is different that they could potentially be doing than they are now. Me, just as an observer of football for a long time, I would just be watching and tell you, I can't answer that question.
Yeah, I'm all ears if you got a suggestion that they're not coming up with.
Because the kid struggles making the most routine of throws. You know, a couple weeks ago, I was advocating, throw it more, throw it more, throw it more. he struggles throwing just almost like screen-like passes. And so if you have a player in that position, and we've seen this with Oregon State a couple times this year, you're almost left sitting on your hands and going, run. What's the play, coach? Run, run, run. And even the throws that he makes, how many throws does he make where he throws to the sideline and it's 10 yards out of bounds? It feels like half the throws that he misses, that's why. They just sell out of bounds 10 to 15 yards. So I think it's always fair for fans to be critical. They pay the money. They're the ones watching the product. They're buying the merch. I'm okay with that. I also think it is 100% realistic to simply say, what do you want or what do you expect Willie Taggart to be doing when he doesn't have a quarterback?
Yeah, you know, somebody texting, our offensive coordinator is not good. Well, Arroyo is the offensive coordinator. He doesn't call the plays. Willie Taggart calls the plays. And, you know, look, I mean, I think when you microanalyze a game,
I think Arroyo's the coordinator by title, not...
Well, he is. Well, he's a great recruiter.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think he's actually doing anything.
He inputs some stuff on the offense, but this is Willie Taggart's offense, and he's the one that's going to call the plays. You know, and look, it's easy to microanalyze these situations, right? I mean, there was a 3rd-and-3 play call in the second half where they were moving, and I want to say they're about midfield or just over midfield. And the game was still within striking distance. You know, it was 21-14 or 17-14, something along those lines. And they called a fade down the sideline on 3rd-and-3, and he threw a pick. It was the one interception that he threw. And I was yelling at him, like, why would you throw the football there? So I get it. Like, I understand wanting to microanalyze every small detail, but the fact of the matter is I think it's it's almost impossible to win games in this conference with Braxton Burmeister as your quarterback. And I think most would argue that in the 3 games that he started now, this was probably the best that he's looked. He had a couple of decent throws. He moved the ball. He had 2 rushing touchdowns. They had 320 total yards of offense. This being the best game that he's played of the 3, he was 8 of 15 for 74 yards. Like, that tells you all you need to know. And I'm not quite sure anybody who wants to be frustrated with the play calling, I get it at times, but they ran the ball 62 times. They only threw it 15. They are incapable of having balance at this point in the season. And yes, it's easy to point to coverage just being blown in the secondary a couple of times. It's easy to point to not having much of a pass rush. It's easy to point to giving up 142 yards on the ground to UCLA. It's easy to point to Darian Felix and his fumble on, the first drive of the game.
That was a promising drive, too.
They were moving the ball, and he fumbles. Schneider missing the kick. Like, there was a lot of small things that you could point to that added up against Oregon. But just at the end of the day, I think it's really difficult to win games when you don't have to game plan for 2 things on defense. You know you can sell out and completely focus on stopping one facet of an offense, and even if you rush for 246 yards, it's not going to be enough.
Well, yeah, if people didn't believe that going into this game, you have to believe that now. UCLA was far and away the worst rush defense in this conference. They gave up over 300-plus yards per game on the ground. Oregon was effective. They were, but they also still were held under the average that UCLA gives up. And it just goes to what you're saying. You can prepare for it. This is honestly how I feel. Gauging and following Justin Herbert and where he's at for Utah is vital this week. If you're a diehard fan and you really want to see your team go back to a bowl game, 6-6, 7-5, whatever you think you can still do with Justin Herbert, follow that story this week, because it's really this simple. And I was turned after the game before UCLA. Without Justin Herbert, this team is not a bowl team. They will lose to Utah. They will lose to UW. They'll lose to Arizona. And I think without Justin Herbert, and he'd probably be back at that point, but without Herbert, I think there's a good chance the Beavers could even potentially beat this team. And I don't think that's crazy. Justin Herbert, if he doesn't play against Utah, though, and then he returns against UW, you lose to Utah, you're not a bowl team. I don't care that Herbert's back. UW is, you're not going to win that game. And I know we differ here, but I don't think you're beating Arizona. So that would leave you with just Oregon State as maybe your last chance at a win. It's vital. They need him back. I know that's very simply put. Yeah, everybody's aware of this.
Yeah.
But I think it's vital for this week, because I think your bowl season rides on this game.
Yeah. Let's read some thoughts here. I know Duck fans are all over the map right now. A lot of them are down. I do just want to remind let's stay the course here. All right. We weren't.
It is year one. They weren't going to win a
national championship this year. Okay. Come on.
Your coach didn't quit on you. I'll give you that as a Beaver fan. Your coach hasn't quit.
We got a Coug fan chiming in saying, I'm not sure the problem is just who is at the quarterback position, but how much better Herbert makes the rest of the team. I really think the guy has a long future in the NFL. I'm a Coug fan, not a Duck fan. I think that's it's a big thing. I mean, Herbert is dynamic. He's one of the better quarterbacks in this conference, and they've obviously sorely missed him. Somebody said Herbert could throw the ball as a freshman. Why can't Burmeister? He was highly rated coming out of high school. What did they see in this guy? It's just tough when you have a kid that's undersized at that position. That was something that Herbert had in his favor. What's he, 6'4", 220? I mean, he's massive.
Like 6'5", maybe.
6'5"? Yeah. I mean, he's big, right? I mean, maybe not 220, but he might be now. But that was what people told me in the fall camp about Burmeister I was talking to down there. He's a great athlete. When you get him out in the open, he can make plays, but he can't read defenses from the pocket because he's small. And that clearly has been an issue. When you leave him in the pocket, he can't find the open guys. Somebody said run Laird routes, give him easy run-pass option. Some of our calls up the middle are stupid. Coaches seem to have no sense of down or distance in situational football. Like, look, I understand the frustration. I do. Was anybody questioning the offensive game plan when they came out and scored 77, 42, 49, 35, 45 in their first five games?
No, but I don't think that's the point. I think people are...
I know, I'm saying, but like, the coaching staff doesn't understand situational football or down and distance. Oh, well, okay, were you saying that when they were scoring 42 or 49?
That's fine. Don't buy into it. I think the people that would say that they're upset or frustrated to the coaching staff dirt, it's not the play calling or understanding. It's, do you really feel there's not any adjustment they can make?
No, I honestly don't.
Okay, well, I think that's just the frustration is maybe they think a football coach who's around it, watching the film night and day, is obsessed with winning, would be able to identify something different that they could try to do.
Yeah, and for all the folks who were chiming in about the sloppy play, by the way, one side note, this was their best penalty game.
How many did they finish?
I believe, let me bring it back up. 3 penalties for 15 yards.
Is that their season low?
It's got to be. They were the worst penalized team
in the
country.
They had 4 in, I think it was their third non-conference game.
The Wyoming game?
Yeah, I think they only had 4 in that game.
3 penalties for 15 yards.
I mean, that's better.
Finding positives.
We did find an answer to the...
Yeah, who was it? 30 years ago?
Rodney Pete. Quarterback. USC.
Yeah.
Okay.
Rodney Pete. I'll go look up those numbers, too, because to win that award 3 weeks in a row, you're dominating over everybody else doing anything.
That's damn impressive, man. That's damn impressive. I know we're against it. I do want to quickly update the poll results. By the way, we have a bunch of poll questions. We'll have to answer all these later in the show. One of them, though, was Oregon 4-4 after losing to UCLA. Will they go bowling? 56% of people say no, they will not get there. 44% say yes. I say it all depends on Justin Herbert. If he's back this week, they got a puncher's chance, and they got a chance against Arizona and Oregon State to close out the year. Hey, Monday Night Football should be a good one tonight. Redskins and Eagles. Will we find out if the Eagles are one of the best teams in the NFL? Or is this Kirker's moment to shine? Some Monday Night Football talk next. Hey, the NBA is biased. Anybody else who disagrees, I just think you're ignorant.
Also, it's funny to watch Warrior Media get all butthurt about today. Really, bro?
Oh, man. We'll talk about that coming up. Close out the show. Answer some poll questions as well. We got a lot of them at Thurton Sprague. I think we had 6 poll questions today.
Well, and I almost want to add a 7th before the show's done.
What's the 7th?
We won't get that many votes on it, but I think it's fair at this point to throw the poll question. Dirt. A duck homer, yes or no?
I got a feeling I know what the overwhelming answer is going to be on that one. Somebody, by the way, the one that ticked me off the most, honestly, was the
Why do you get so upset?
Oh, you know I always get roped into this stuff. The one that ticked me off the most was the Beaver fan that chimed in and said, you know, when the Beavers lose, you come in and you hammer them. And when the Ducks lose, you make excuses. And I was like, wait, hold up. I was the person when that team was 1-4 that still wanted to talk about them and try and find positives, and the two Oregon State Beavers on the show didn't even want to bring them up.
It's because you enjoy misery. So what is that saying? Misery loves company?
Misery loves company.
You want to be the company in
Look,
our misery.
Look, sorry, I've just been distracted by the Dodgers' run to the World Series.
Yeah, I mean,
so my normal level of intense focus on the college football season is just, you know.
It's not the same, man.
It's not the same. And, so Dusty and I worked out the arrangements of the bet.
Are you going to a game?
No.
Oh, yeah. What's the bet? Wow. You guys got a bet?
Nice bottle of hooch.
Oh, okay.
Seemed appropriate.
What classifies as that for you? What's the lowest level of nice that he could get you?
Nice is $50.
Okay.
I think so.
$50 right. bucks. Yeah. Is, that's like the bare minimum.
Okay. I was just curious.
You can go higher.
Also, how are you not going to a game? He's going to a game in Houston.
I don't know anybody in L.A.
Yeah.
I do.
The Crawfords.
Airbnb. You could get an Airbnb room, I bet, for like $130.
Well, that's really not in the budget right now. So.
Well, sometimes you got to make it the budget.
Airfare, then a ticket, then, yeah.
This was, I never told you this, but when I went to L.A., it was a debated topic about you because you were brought up how you're a Dodger fan. And then Crawford said he's never been to a game at Chavez Ravine. And everybody lost their ass. And they said that if you don't go to a game this year and they win it, there's some people questioning if you should still be a fan.
Wow.
And I said, I can't speak to that. I'll only relay the message.
That is strange. I didn't know you'd never been to a game at Chavez Ravine.
No, I've seen them. I've seen them in Seattle. I've seen them in Colorado.
I'm stunned you've never been to LA.
Yeah, that's like one of those you just say, listen, we're doing this as a summer trip. We're going to LA and I'm going to a ball game.
I'll take you to Disneyland PAX, but yeah. We're going to a Dodger game.
Never quite has worked. And like I said, we don't have any family in Southern California.
No place.
Like
to
I mentioned, Airbnb.
Yeah.
Well,
how about that?
Takes budget.
What if I found a place for you for $80 for one night? Would you go?
It's more than that.
No. I could find you a place for $80.
Well, I still got to get a ticket. I still have to get airfare. I still got to pay food.
This is what Sprague did to me.
Ticket $100. There's $180. Airfare $230.
It's funny. The cheapest person in the building is McDonald's. You like to strong arm people into going to sporting events.
I'm not the cheapest person. I'm the most financially responsible.
Okay, you're the most financially responsible person.
That's my title.
Because you did this to me in the Final Four. I was like waffling, like should I go? Should I not go? And the next thing I know, I'm stuck in a car for 24 straight hours, and they can't box out, and I was pissed that I went.
But you enjoyed it, though.
I mean, we had a good time, but then I had to drive 20 hours back from Phoenix.
And you think I'm seriously pulling that off and not taking lady swag? Come on.
I mean, you could make that decision. You are an adult.
I understand that, but then I have to come back.
You can say you're not going. We can't afford it. I'm sorry. I love you.
Just give me one night. I need a night in LA.
I was hoping it was going to be the Yankees because there was a better chance I could get to New York. My sister lives there. I had a place to crash.
Why don't you just go with Dusty? I think he's staying with like his parents. I bet you they'd let you sleep in a garage.
Well, his brother's taking the ticket.
Sleep in a garage.
What do you mean?
Well, that and there's high school football on Friday night too. Dusty's
Crawford
bailing
can
on
do
me.
A solo Crawford's high school
got
game.
It.
What
Crawford.
About Cam Cleland here? Isn't he Mr. High School Football now?
Somebody said my dad lives in San Fernando. He would let you stay at his house for free.
See? I honestly could get somebody to give you a room for. They'd probably want something.
I still got
to
get a ticket. Yeah.
It's only six. Get a press pass. Get a credential for like game five. Yeah. In case it goes there. Oh, I guess that's in Houston. Huh? You'd have to wait for like game six.
Let me look this up real quick. Let me find a ticket right now.
Somebody
I'm
said it's 600 for nosebleeds. Is what somebody texted in. 600 for the nosebleeds.
Yeah, when you haven't had a World Series there in 30 years.
Yeah, well, they're fired up for
They're fired up.
Yeah, Sprague got in for like $4 and a can of soup to go to game two of the NLDS. Nobody wanted to go to that, but this one.
We got our tickets half off. They were $55. Half off. And we were in the nosebleeds.
That's a pretty good deal.
Should swag?
There's another poll question.
You're paying like $700.
See, there's another poll question. Should swag ante up and go?
You could get a media credential.
553.
Not at this point. They're all spoken for.
I'm just disappointed. Aren't you a little bummed? Like you didn't get to watch them in their World Series
I'm
year?
I'm a lot bummed.
God.
I didn't get to watch them in 88.
That was the cool part about seeing the White Sox in 05. I went to a Mariner game. Remember Bobby Jenks? He was like fake throwing at my head. It was very awkward.
Bobby Jenks. Yeah, I think he was an alcoholic.
Yeah, he was. And he's also a very big human. But I watched them in 05. I ended up pulling for him in the World Series because I saw him in person.
Because you saw him live.
Saw a World Series team.
There's really one thing that it's just, okay, I'm just, charging up on the credit card regardless. And that's if Oregon State ever gets to a Rose Bowl.
That's the only thing?
I think so.
The Cowboys of the Super Bowl?
You're going to have a long time to save up.
You have
that
the
one.
Dodgers in the World Series?
Somebody said I just hit a four-person.
I appreciate that little pot shot you just took. Slipped in there.
Let's be honest here.
No.
Wait till we find the
because coach. Because that's a family thing. I mean, I've told my dad and my brother, I was like, we're dropping everything and we're going.
Yeah, drive down and sleep in your car one this year.
Yeah, two people are saying, I just did a four-person road trip to Anaheim one night, $120 a person, gas and hotel.
Wow.
So you find a couple other people to go with you.
I think you're reaching for excuses here, Swigard.
Yeah, who cares how shady the hotel is? It's one night and you drive back.
Nobody's going to murder you.
Oh, yeah, come on, you're fine.
Just don't watch CSI shows and you won't be thinking about it.
Yeah, somebody said drive down, sleep in your car. Somebody said you never seen them at their home field. You're not a real fan. See, I don't know. I can't go that far.
Look, stop. Hold on.
I can't go that far.
I'm not giving you my opinion, but that was the opinion in the Uber. Even the Uber driver, Ahmed, had the same opinion. I'm not kidding.
He validated your opinion.
How do you find you not go? And then everybody else is like, yeah, how has he never been to Chavez? Mm-hmm. I was like, I don't know. I can't speak to that.
Start a GoFundMe account. I'll be there.
If you really wanted to go, you could make this work. That's all I'm saying. You could make it work.
He's going to strong arm you into this. Next thing you know, you're going to be in hour seven of a car ride down to L.A. You're going to lose in a walk-off.
L.A. is a 19-hour car ride. You know that I do not like to spend my pennies very often.
No, you're very frugal.
But I believe in viewing sports things. Sports money is okay.
Yeah, I'm with you. As somebody who went to...
I went to the old Vero Beach spring training facility and spent a week there in spring training. Had
he's trying to validate the fandom.
Get
right
to
now.
Florida, so don't... Yeah. Stop it.
He said, Dirt almost got murdered in a Redding, California gas station at 1 a.m. for his team. That's true. I almost did get murdered on my way back from Phoenix for the Final Four. And I'm with you. As somebody who has been to, I went to the Rose Bowl against Ohio State, the Rose Bowl against Wisconsin, the national title against Auburn, like going to all those and forking up to go, it was worth it. Even though they lost two of the three.
Dude, I went to Lincoln. Yeah, I had no rooting interest between Nebraska, Oregon, but that's a bucket list. Next year, you know where I'm going? Well, we're going.
Columbus.
We're going to Columbus.
Oh, we're going to Columbus?
Yeah. We're
going
to do the show from Columbus.
Nice. Well, I'm going to that.
Wow.
I'm gonna pull a Sprague and we're in
you
Ohio
say
State
that,
shirt.
And then...
Oh, no. Megan has family in Columbus. We're going.
I feel like you could make this work. I guess that's my whole point.
I'm going to pull a you and wear a Buckeye shirt to the game.
I'd be all right with that.
No, I would never do that. I'd burn the shirt off of my body.
I feel like you have a reason to hate Ohio State.
Yeah, I could never wear an Ohio State shirt. Yeah, I'll wear bright yellow into the arena. We'll
just be
fun.
The go to go Ducks.
I'll be like, hey, yeah. Let's go. Hey, Monday Night Football tonight. I'm looking forward to the game. Thanks for talking Monday Night Football.
Oh, ready for Kirkers to go, 0 for 6 on Monday night?
That's what we were supposed to say.
I thought you were teasing it.
Two questions to answer quickly here, okay? Real quick, because we're up against it. If the Redskins win, can they win the NFC East?
No.
Wow.
No.
Even if they win tonight in Philly and they're 4-2?
No.
Wow.
I mean, it's not 0%. I'm saying no.
You're not buying it?
I still buy Philly.
If the Eagles win, are they the best team in the NFC?
Yes.
No.
Ooh, hot takes. Okay. I like it. Quick, short answer. One word. That's it. Move on. Hey, the NBA is biased against the Portland Trail Blazers. If you needed any more evidence on that, I got some. We'll give it to you next on 1080 The Fan. Hey, 249, Isaac and Soup coming up top of the hour. We got a loaded show tomorrow. I'll let you know what's going on here coming up in a couple of minutes. Remember when C.J. McCollum took two steps off of the bench and got suspended for a regular season game?
Yes, I do, Clark.
That was pretty bad, right? I was like, man, trying to make a point of it, I guess. They don't want guys walking off onto the floor during an altercation.
Like, hey, the guy that interviews the commissioner every year and does all these fun things with the NBA league offices got hammered by the league office.
Doesn't have a history of walking onto the floor during altercations, right? Didn't make a whole lot of sense, but maybe they're just trying to set a precedent. They don't want guys walking out onto the floor, and they want to send a message. Well, the message the NBA sent today was, you better not walk out onto the floor. But if you throw your mouthpiece at a referee, don't worry about it. The NBA has fined Steph Curry $50,000. If you missed what happened over the weekend, they were losing to Memphis. He threw a little temper tantrum like he likes to when they're losing. And he hucked his mouthpiece. He was tossed out of the game. Kevin Durant flashed his finger at a fan, pointing to his ring finger as they continued to bicker back and forth. But fine $50,000, no suspension. And the reason why it was just a fine was the league couldn't prove he aimed to hit the official with his mouthpiece, even though he threw his mouthpiece at the official.
Yeah, and I loved his comment after, if I wanted to hit the official, I have better aim than that. Whoa. All right, well... Like I don't understand it. It's not that big of a deal in the grand scheme of things, but this is very NFL-ish. This is something the NFL would totally do. You would screw up and be inconsistent with punishments. How can you take any object? I don't care if it's a mouthpiece, a shoe, a headband. How can you take any object and two different times throw it towards an official and neither time you're suspended? First time, we'll fine you. Second time, Yeah, we'll still find it. You're throwing something at the official versus the guy that wanted to come in potentially and try to stop his teammate from getting in a fight, took two steps and goes, oh, yeah, and turns right back around, has no history of violence, no history of anything. I don't even know if CJ has a technical foul for all we're talking about here.
None that stand out.
And he gets suspended for a game. It's so stupid, and it's a pretty clear-cut directive to the NBA of we can't afford to lose Steph Curry for a night.
It's one night in the regular season.
I know.
I hate when stuff like this happens.
But unless something more egregious happens, it's just like, not going to happen to players like Steph.
He did it in an NBA Finals game. And of course, you're not going to suspend somebody in the NBA Finals because I want to say that was Game 6 that he did it. It was before Game 7. And that was the series, obviously, that they went on to lose. And so, of course, he wasn't going to get suspended in Game 7 of the NBA Finals for doing something like that. But the notion, I was following this on Twitter because I didn't see it live, and I saw the replay of it and I just started chuckling like, oh, there he is throwing a temper tantrum. The sentiment that I saw from a lot of NBA writers on Twitter that night was, well, it'll be interesting because this isn't the finals. This is a regular season. And now the NBA has a chance to say, you know what? You can't do this crap. You can't throw a tantrum, toss your mouthpiece towards an official and get away with it. And every NBA writer, basically, I feel like that I follow was thinking that this was going to be a hammer. It was going to come down. He was going to get a suspension, and they were going to let him know that this was unacceptable. They play in Dallas on Monday night. Tonight, they play in Dallas. You couldn't have suspended him against the Mavericks. The NBA would have survived without Steph Curry for one night. I hate when stuff like this happens in every sport. And the fact that he's able to get away with this as a repeat offender of throwing his mouthpiece towards either a fan or an official, only with the fine, it's absolutely laughable. And if I'm CJ McCollum, not only am I upset because I got screwed on a call late against Antetokounmpo when he was fouled, and they said he wasn't fouled, but then you got suspended for a game when you shouldn't have been suspended.
And this listener says $100,000 less for CJ. It was $165,000, if I'm not mistaken. I think somebody broke that down.
Yeah, in terms of how much he makes per game because he lost the game check.
So not only did he get suspended for a game, he lost more than double what Steph did. And Steph threw something at an official.
Yeah, keep throwing stuff at officials. The Warriors are 1-2. All's right with the world.
I love how angry you get over things that ultimately do not matter that much because you know how wrong it is.
Yeah, you got to stand up for what's right in this world.
Well, yeah, yeah. It's ridiculous.
Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't he threw his mouthpiece at an official?
God,
he threw his. Go watch the replay. He chucks it at him.
He does,
and he tries that. Oh,
he did it in the finals too. Yeah,
he did. This is the second time he's done it,
and he tries to use the "I'm just frustrated" excuse.
No,
I'm just frustrated.
You threw it at the guy that called the foul on you, and then you got in his face and you berated him.
Well, I'll tell you, Steph,
suspend his ass for a game.
When you got locked up by Kevin Love, and then you lost Game 7 on your court, I didn't see you throw a mouthpiece. Then were you not frustrated? I guess it's different, isn't it?
All right. Hey, tomorrow on the show, we got Phil Steele at 12:30, Justin Hopkins at 1 o'clock. We have Michael Rappaport on the show tomorrow at 2. He wrote a book entitled This Book Has Balls, and we're going to interview him at 2 o'clock tomorrow.
He's also got media beef with Bill Simmons right now.
I love it.
He shouted out Bill Simmons.
He's a part of the Barstool family, so we'll ask him about their show getting canceled on ESPN one week in.
And he's a huge basketball fan. We'll ask him how egregious this is that Steph doesn't get suspended and CJ did.
He hates the Ball family as much as I do. So, all right, there you go. If you miss any of it, Les Schwab Tires Podcast, 1080thefan.com is where you can find it. We talked a lot of football, a lot of Ducks, a lot of baseball, Blazers, loaded show. We'll tweet it out at Durden Sprague and at 1080thefan as well. Thanks for being a part of our Mondays. We'll talk to you tomorrow at noon. Number one is next. You're listening to 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.